This episode of the show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. I like video games on PCs, and I know you do too. It's the ultimate platform. Well, get it at the ultimate source. They'll take great care of you. That's doghousesystems.com. Doghousesystems.com.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance episode, where are we? 522 for Friday, May 4th, 2018. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say the stupid Star Wars name, okay? I won't do it. I refuse, even though Garrett Weinzerl's here and he's a huge Star Wars fan. Hi, Garrett. Welcome back.
May the 4th be with you, Scott.
Ah, shit! He did it. He did
it
anyway.
I actually think it's dumb, too, but I just wanted to, you know, mess with you.
Well done. Garrett's here. It's good to see you, as always. Also, Patrick Beja, all the way from Finland in some sort of weird ramshackle country house. What's going on, Patrick?
Yes, I am. So, Scott, I know I told you that I might not be able to make it to the show because of my little baby boy that I have to take care of.
Yeah.
And if that was the case, I mean, if I was neglecting my son in order to be on the show, that would be fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be completely acceptable.
Sure.
However, he happened to have fallen asleep about an hour ago. And so now my wife can take care of him because she has time to do other stuff. So really, what I'm neglecting is the fact that I almost killed the last Valkyrian God of War. I was this close,
for video watchers, this close.
And I figured, it's time to go to the instance. And I had to stop. It hurt my heart, but I did it.
Well, look, you're making the big sacrifices for us here on the show, and I appreciate that. Also, that baby, that picture you put up where you're sort of grinning and he's just chubby-cheeked smiling. Is just about the happiest little picture I ever saw. So,
Listen, if you, I've become that person. Look at this. Look at this. Isn't this the cutest baby you have? So this is like a few days after he was born.
Yeah.
And now, sorry, audio listeners.
No, this is great. This is great because the first 10 minutes of the show are check in with Patrick's baby. Oh, look at him, dude.
Isn't this the cutest baby you have ever seen in your life? Like, try to tell me this is not the cutest baby ever, and I will know you're lying.
I can't do
it. That's just I can't either. I will repeat what I said on Instagram, which is you and freaking Kanata are ruining all the work I put into convincing myself that I don't want kids.
Yeah, I know.
You're ruining it.
That's right. Yeah, and you listen. It's they turn out okay on the other side. I can be your other end of the proof. I can say, look, they're fine when they get older, too. So now's the time. Get in there, you and your wife.
Well. Okay, let me temper your enthusiasm here. If we're talking in terms of wow, babies are some kind of incredibly difficult raid boss that has a bewitching spell that they use through their cuteness to convince you that all of the shit you go through is worth it. Really, it isn't. Yeah. But it's like a defense mechanism they use to vanquish you when you're trying to you know, think logically and realize, I don't need all of this. I can just give it away for adoption. And then you look at it and it's super cute. And you're like, aw. This is like, you only see the good sides. I'm just warning you.
No, that's what Instagram is for.
Instead of standing in the poop, you have to literally put your hands in it.
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, earlier today, he hadn't done it in a while. But if you don't know what the term explosive poop means, then I'm happy for you because it was spectacular. I have to be honest, though. Now it's a lot better. First 2-3 months were horrible.
Yeah.
Hell on earth. Yeah. Now it's a lot better.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. They get older, that stuff settles. So you start getting a normal poop. This really is the best pre-show we've ever done.
You start getting excited about the type of feces. It's like, oh, thank God, this is manageable feces. I was really worried. I was worried there's going to be a hole in here.
Yeah.
So let's say, I'm sure there are other aspects that come and ruin your life afterwards. But in the beginning, feces are the mythic rating version of feces. And then 2-3 months in, you start to understand the encounter, to know when to, get away from the places that you shouldn't be in and all of that. And it becomes like more you have it on farm. Let's put it like that.
You have it on farm. It's a lot easier. When you say farm or you have it on fart? I'm not sure I heard that right.
Well, sometimes it's confusing me too. I'm not sure.
Just farming those farts.
Yeah, that's right. Listen, you need those mats. So here's the thing I would just say to Garrett, one final tiny piece of advice. Because I've said many times you guys would have really cute kids. Here's what I think. And well-behaved and smart and, well, good grades and all that.
Well, like the jury's still out on that one.
That's true.
That kid would have to roll everything on Katie's side of the gene pool if it wanted to survive math class.
Well, so here's the deal. You want to do it sooner than Patrick because Patrick's going to be like 78 when his kid's 15.
Oh, yeah. I that was really dumb. I mean, I've done some cool stuff until now. But the other side of it is that I'm 45 now. Mm-hmm. I'll be retired when he gets out of the house.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally.
For podcasters, I guess retirement means still work, keep
continuing
working.
To work.
Yeah, exactly. Continue to work, you dumb idiot.
When they get out while you're still young, it's great because you're still kind of cool. They don't think you're just some other generation entirely. So I'm telling you, you're going to have to be like hardcore gamer in your latter years in order to just convince the kid that you're still kind of cool. So I think you're going
to... Oh,
I
yeah,
think
that's going to be really hard for me to play video games. That's going to be a challenge. I mean, honestly, I think I that's why I got started early now that he's still an infant and I'm neglecting him because I need to understand what the kids are doing and play video games all day.
Sure.
It's really for him. Really for him. It's a sacrifice I'm doing.
Yeah, I completely understand. Well, I'm excited for that entire process and it's going to go great. I'm not worried about it at all. Last night, I hear some screaming downstairs. I'm like, what is going on? I come down here and two of my kids who are still here are playing one of them is playing Overwatch with my daughter who's then in her own place, her and her husband plus two cousins are all playing Overwatch and screaming and yelling about this match they're in. And then Carter and someone else we're related to, I forget who she was playing with, is over there cranking through Diablo. Like, I've done it. I branded them, Blizzard fans, and they're still doing it. They're still, like, every night they're trying to get excuses to go down and, you know, play whatever Blizzard game they want to feel like playing that day. So
the big question we always get, which I think is relevant here, is how much did Blizzard pay you? I mean, for the instance, we know that we get money from Blizzard to say good things. Uh-huh. The real question is how much did Blizzard pay you to sell your kids to the Blizzard religion?
I had to do like Breaking Bad. I had to get a storage facility. I had to stack the money on a pallet, and I had to have Huel and that other guy go check and make sure it was all good and still there. That's
so
how
we know what Blizzard is doing with their caches of gold.
Oh yeah, dude, we know what they're doing. We know what they're up to. Well, let's find out what they're actually up to, and we'll do that by playing this. All right, you guys. Let's get it. Oh, why is that happening? Sorry, that's not supposed to happen.
Start it over.
We're going to get into it here. Real quick note about something that's happening on the PTR soon, and soon has a big trademark symbol on it everywhere I read this, including the post that Blizzard did in their own forums. But they say that as for the pre-patch on PTR, it should be soon. Pre-patch meaning the preparatory thing that they'll put there that will represent what we get in the public realms before the actual launch of the game in August. So every time they do a new expansion,
8.0,
which is usually all the systems changes, character pruning, all the stuff that we're expecting to see in the full launch of the game, they put out ahead of time. It's a great way to smush any last second goofs and bugs or issues. And they say that's happening soon. Now, with their, little jokey trademark symbol next to the soon, that means that who knows what that means. But certainly it means before August, so we know at least that. But if you're paying attention to PTR stuff and you're testing and you want to know what's up, then I guess watch for it. They say this right here. Let's see. When it happens, you'll see the PTR forums go up and likely an announcement for it as well. Keep in mind, we're still around 3.5 months out for Battle of Azeroth hitting live servers, so there's still some time. If I had to guess, a month and a half before PTR gets it, and then they...
Oh, no, sooner than
that. You think sooner than that?
Oh, yeah. I think before the end of the month. So I think even possibly in the next week or maybe two.
Oh, that's you look at you with the mm-hmm. bold prediction. Well, if that's yep. true, that's a long time to be testing that thing, isn't it? And well, okay, if that's the case, when do you think we get pre-patch on the live servers before the game goes live?
Well, the game's releasing in August.
Yeah.
Or in May, so June or July would be my...
I'd say early July for the live. Early July.
I resent weeks. How you have reminded me how quickly time is passing. I resent it. Really, seriously, like time is just too weird now. I don't get it. Like somebody said to me the other day, I was like, Avengers Infinity War, this is great. Let's watch this movie. And I said, yeah, and we're only 24 days away from Solo. And I just said, what? How is that even a thing? How is that possible? It feels like,
oh, really?
Did we just have a yeah. Star Wars movie? See what I mean? It's in the same, the month we're in now, Patrick, we get a Solo movie. Like, it's insane how time feels to me. And the same goes for this entire expansion cycle of announcement to being finished. This is going real quick, and it's not a complaint. I'm stoked, right?
Well, I mean, it's not going real quick. It's probably the longest, the longest time between two expansions.
Really?
So
no way. Yeah.
No,
absolutely it is.
It's
no way.
It's basically 2 years.
No. Hold on.
Yes.
Hold on.
It released August 21st, Legion, didn't it? 21st or 28th or something like that.
Wait a minute. Oh, you know what? You might be right.
Yes, I know I might be right.
Hold on. Legion.
Drop the stuff on me in the middle of the show.
I know.
I need to refute it with actual evidence, which requires Googling.
Get your Google foo on here. Let's see.
August 30th, 2016. August 30th.
Okay, and this comes out August what? Hold on.
14th. So we're 2 weeks shy of 2 years.
So it's better. So it's better.
Usually it's more like 18 to 20 months.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Warlords of Draenor, came out.
All right. I've got it. I've got it here. All right. So
November 13th.
Andaria was September, 2012. Draenor came out November, 2014. So that's about the same amount of time, actually.
Yeah, maybe they're just always 2 years.
Actually, this is just about on par with every yeah. expansion ever.
Which I think is kind of your point, Patrick, and I'll take your point. It just feels faster. Maybe it's because they're doing it earlier in the year, but they're also announcing earlier, right? So it's just all they've done is shifted it, the entire package back a little bit so that we have a slightly earlier announcement and a slightly earlier release, because back in the day it was almost always November. And right? No?
It looks like the shortest amount of time was from BC to Lich King, and it's still almost like 2 years.
See, that yeah. felt like an eternity.
It's usually almost 2 years, but I don't think it's as close.
All right. That felt like an eternity. I'm getting old. I don't know what's going on. Time's compressed.
Well, yeah, Sundaria to Draenor was 2 years and 2 months.
Ah, that was the longest time. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that felt the longest because they didn't add Jack.
Yeah, that was like that was rough. Do you remember that? Ooh.
That was the longest amount of time I stopped playing World of Warcraft.
It was a hard time to podcast about it. I remember that being really, really rough.
I stopped playing.
But somehow you still managed, Scott. I don't know how you did it.
We may have skipped a few episodes just because of whatever, but it felt real rough, and I don't want that again. I would really like, I like the current thing, because yes, 2 years average, got it, sure. But what makes it feel less, I think, here's the bottom line. What makes it feel less is the game is getting constant content outside of that window or alongside all this other stuff. So it never feels like they're just done in a holding pattern the way it did at the end of Warlords or the way it did at the end of Cataclysm or something. So,
they're a little bit quieter on Legion. They've definitely shifted gears towards Battle for Azeroth, but certainly this expansion feels like it's seen the most content out of all of the expansions we've seen before. Feels that way, at least.
Completely agree. All right, our big topic today. There's not a ton happening other than dingle, 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 things around the community. I don't know what the dingle part was. I don't know why I said that. That's weird. What was that about? I was like, Tourette's. I am getting old. Dingle, dingle, dingle. Anyway, hey, let's talk about war mode. This came up in a Q&A. Oh, the reason we weren't here last week, by the way, Garrett and I did a show the week before. Patrick, you were maybe there for a bit, and then you had to bolt or something, whatever it was.
No, I wanted to come on. No, actually, I couldn't, but you didn't invite me to the call, so I was like, oh, well, fine then. Actually, I didn't even want to come on.
Whatever, you told me you had given me some warning that you couldn't be on.
No, it's true.
So I never invited you. But anyway,
it's
my point is, what was my point? Oh, and then the week after that, we had a big meetup in Vegas for another show, and because of that, it screwed up all my weekend shows. So that's why there was no show last week. There was the huge bomb drop right after we recorded that we'll let Garrett address later in the podcast. Specifically,
that one. Yeah.
We got to at least mention it and kind of see how you're feeling in the aftermath of it. And
this is like asking me a month after I finally buried a family member how I feel about the death of a loved one.
Yeah. How are you feeling about grandma now that it's all settled and done?
Oh, well, thank you for bringing it all back up, Scott.
Digging up that dirt. Anyway, We'll address that later in the sort of sum up Blizzard section of the show. But one thing that did happen in the intervening time was Ian Hazakosta sat down for another one of his sort of chats with Lore, community manager Lore, where they talk about stuff that's going on with the game. And they talk specifically about war mode, which in essence is the replacement for PvP servers or PvP a PvP mode in the game. I mean, we knew that they were changing that.
I love this so much.
Yeah, it's pretty rad. They were going to change this no matter what. We knew that. But what we didn't have is a lot of details about how this was going to work, what the incentives were to be in war mode versus not being in war mode. And here's basically how it works. Players on any server, this is according to Ian on the 17th, I want to say this is when this happened, or maybe a little later. Players on any server will be able to go into their capital city, be it Stormwind on the Alliance or Orgrimmar for the Horde, and toggle on war mode. Now, you have to be in the capital city to turn this on. You can only be turned on in your capital city.
Hey, whatever gets you going, man.
Hey, I'm not here to judge. I'm an open-minded guy.
Something about the red and gold and silver moon just puts me in the mood for murder.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't do it there. But anyway.
Oh, that's right. Because it's not actually
updated. But anyway, they only let you do it in the two. But you go in there, you toggle on war mode. This will migrate them to a server filled with more war mode players only. So this is, again, their phasing server shifting deal technology kicking in. As long as you're in your capital, you can toggle this on or off as you please. You could literally sit there and flip it on and off over and over if you wanted to. I don't know why you would. Some people probably will because they're dicks. Once out in the open, though, out in the open world, war mode players will be able to attack members of the opposite faction or the enemy faction anytime they wish. So it's basically full blown PvP mode anytime while you're A, toggled on, and B, outside of the city. If you want to toggle it back off, you got to get your ass back to the city and try not to die before you get there. Cause there's some scenarios playing out in my head that sound nightmarish, to be honest, about people who are just desperately trying to turn war mode off. Clawing their way back to Silvermoon or to Silvermoon. Freaking, I got Silvermoon in my head. Freaking Stormwind or wherever.
You can probably hearth back.
Yes. You probably can.
If you're a paladin, you can pop a bubble. Yeah, of course.
Yes.
As always.
But if you're anyone else, you start hearthing and someone attacks you from behind and then you're pissed. So.
Well, that's the fun of it. Have you ever played on a PvP server?
Yes, but I didn't like it and stopped doing it. Yeah, in vanilla is when I did it as well. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated it so much, but I was playing alone. I'm sure it's a blast if you have like a posse to roll around with.
I don't want
to
get ganked every 5 seconds. That is not fun for me. And I know that PvP is a big deal for a lot of people. And Patrick, you were a PvP player lover for a long time. So I guess I should ask you on the base level of this announcement or of this clarification of what we can expect from war mode as a thing. How do you feel about it, and does it hold a candle to what you like about PvP open world in the game?
I love it. I think it is. I mean, it's not the most incredibly innovative way of doing it. I'm sure some other games have done it this way before, but it is so much better than what we have now because, yes, you can go on a PvP server as I have, and I've played on a PvP server since I first started in 2004, 2005. And I have had excellent, super fun times in those few years playing PvP. There is definitely some fun to be had, but there's also a lot of not fun to be had, which you described, Scott, and getting ganked repeatedly by players that are a lot higher level than you are.
Yeah.
But they're doing some things to mitigate this to an extent. And most importantly, the fact that you are in a war mode or not means that you don't have to make that choice for life. You can just decide when you feel like doing a little bit of PvP or when you feel like just staying PvE, and you can do that depending on your mood. It is a fantastic way of addressing it. And I don't know if you want me to get into it, but the way the added things that come with that change are super cool as well.
Well, we'll get into these here. Before I do, though, did they clarify, and I couldn't find much on this in this regard. I even watched the video and don't remember him addressing this directly, but I'm also have the brain of a flea and I'm sometimes distracted. So I'm willing to, you know, if I missed it, I'm willing to admit it, but I don't understand how it's going to work with your friends. So for example, if I go turn war mode on and Garrett and I are in the same guild and I've got war mode on and I'm out hunting somewhere for mats and being dangerous and he doesn't have it on, and maybe he's even in the same area. What is my relation to Garrett? Are we even in the same realm? Are we, you know, what are we?
No, I think you'll be in a different phase.
Okay.
Obviously, you can't.
We probably can group up, right? Like he could, you could message me and I could right click your name and group, and then probably that does something. But then, but does that mean
I? Yeah, but I mean, I can still, I can message you between games and realms at this point in the game.
Well, that's true.
That doesn't really mean much. No, I would assume it would probably keep us in the party and would work like if, say, you were past a phased portion of a quest and I was in the same area. I bet it would show us on the map, but we wouldn't be able to see each other.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Either that or it will tell you you can't be in the same group if you're in war mode and the other person isn't.
Maybe
you have to all be in war mode in your group. But that's going to be a group. If it does, it's going to be a group level thing. It's not going to be a guild level thing.
Right. But then that's weird only in the sense that, okay, I'm in this mode and Garrett's like, oh, I really want to group with you though. All right, well, head over to Orgrimmar. I'll see you in a half hour. You know, like I know it's not that bad, but I feel like it's just it's a bit of a pain. It's not a half hour. It might be, I don't know, 3 minutes or something, but.
Why is it a pain? I don't know why.
I don't know why it would be. Because okay, if he's standing right there, if he's right there, let's say we're in Silvermoon because we're feeling frosty, you know? We're feeling a little sexy.
Oh, but I think in capital cities, they're not going to phase people. It's just out in the world.
Yeah. I don't mean sexy for each other. I meant just we're in Silvermoon together. Just happen to be there. So we're walking around.
If we're there, we're probably feeling pretty sexy.
Yeah, that's true. You have to when you're there. But
reason you go to Silverman.
If I'm walking around there and I look, oh, there's a broom sweeping by itself, and you're like, I see it too, but I don't see you. Well, why don't we see this together? Somebody's got to go turn their thing on.
Maybe
off.
You will be phased in because you do have like player raids and stuff like that might happen. Maybe you will be phased in capital cities as well. It's possible.
Yeah, I would assume it's just work like any other phased. Event. Right. I don't think it'll be that big of a deal.
Probably not. I like to, you know, catastrophize. I like to think of the worst.
I mean, back in my day, we had to wait by a meeting stone, yelling, "Looking for one man healer."
Do you feel bad that meeting stones don't have? You know, they used to be this iconic obelisk of meaning. You know, like, oh, a meeting stone has got that symbol on it.
Do they still have them at BlizzCon? Do they?
I don't think so.
It's an irrelevant like reference now.
Yeah, now the raid leader just teleports you over to the Hall H or whatever. But no, like they are such a cool piece of imagery and such a great not meme but you know thing attached to the game. And now they're just meaningless rocks. They don't mean anything.
Yeah, lame. They do.
What
you can teleport people? Well, you can teleport people if you're going to Mythic. You can't just zone in. You have to group with people. And at the meeting stone, you teleport members from your group if you're already there. Are already two people there.
I just mean it's kind of like saying, "What if Blizzard said one day, hey, we're phasing out the Hearthstone.
Night elves can't dance on mailboxes anymore." Yeah, that would be
that.
Terrible.
Yeah, that or let's take the Hearthstone, not the game, but the little rock you carry around that takes you back to your place of origin or your place of preference or whatever. Let's say one day they said, We're changing that. Now it's just a UI thing where you hit the P button and you teleport, or the T because it stands for teleport. Let's say that that's what they do. And you're like, ah, well, you still have your rock, but it doesn't do anything now. It's just in your bag. It sells for a copper. That would be really sad. I mean, they'd never do it, but it'd be really sad because it's like this iconic thing. And that's how I feel about meeting stones. They were just like this rad thing. And now they're, I don't know, mostly unusable. Yes, they've said, well, for Mythic, let's make it even harder to meet up. So y'all have to go to the stone. I get that, but it's still not the same. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but do you want it to be the same, right? Like, there's nostalgia, and then there's quality of life, and yeah. Like, I do kind of miss the old days when it took a while to get a group together, and you actually kind of ended up making friends with complete random strangers because it took so long to get a group.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure I really want to go back to that.
Oh man, Sidian has a great idea in the chat. He says you can now get a toy called the Innkeeper's Daughter and throw away your Hearthstone to free up bag space. Oh, zing, bing, bong, tell you good. Send your hate mail to City and not me. All right. Let's move on. Hey, honored. So here's how it's going to work. When you are in war mode, your honor talents are enabled. All right. So Ian said this, and among others, honor talents are on permanent, are on permanently rather while in war mode. And let's see. This is the case in Legion as well. So that was a thing. But they would only enable you. And only be enabled when you got into PvP combat. So you'd have to respond to combat or start up a combat, and then they would kick in, causing them to enable and disable while playing, which ended up feeling a little janky, he says. So players are going to find that this is just a thing that's now on. Also, gear scaling. In order to create fair fights and good gameplay, I think this is a big part of this, goal is to limit the extremes in power between players in war mode, and that comes from gear and level. We want you to have an advantage in your gear, if it's better, but within reason. The experience should be something similar to unrated battlegrounds and Legion, but with the stat templates, or without, rather. Keep in mind, this is scaling only in PvP combat, so your power against creatures in the world will remain the same as it would if war mode wasn't disabled. So no longer some completely OP jackhole, butthole, freaking rogue, gnarly turd bucket who comes swinging up behind you and just lays waste to you. You have a chance. No matter who you're fighting. That is huge. That makes me want to try war mode. And I don't like this sort of thing. But that actually makes me want to try it because now I have to rely on my skill more. Somebody with better gear could be outmanned because I'm more skilled with this, or my class can do these things to counter them. Like, that is super, super cool. Very excited. Thoughts? Feelings?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the way a lot of PvP has been going. In a lot of games, including World of Warcraft, so I'm happy this is happening. I would say this is maybe the second most exciting thing in what we've run down here. The first we haven't gotten to, but
yeah.
And I mean, it's not going to mean that you can't have a level 120 swoop in and destroy you repeatedly because you're on your ult and they're, you know, you're leveling your ult quietly and they're doing world quests all over the zone. And see you and destroy you. Hopefully, the phasing will be done so that you're mostly with people of your level, and the max level people are going to be amongst themselves. But still, I think it's going to happen. But that mitigates certainly a little bit of it, and certainly it mitigates a lot of what will happen when you are max level, and you can still do stuff without being afraid of someone with full conquest gear destroying you in half a second.
Yeah, and also keep in mind that sometimes you're alone and there's, you know, five of them, one of you, and you're not going to be, it's not going to scale.
That's
you.
Not going to change much at that point. You're going
to
die.
No. But the toggle addresses that to a certain degree, right? Like, that was the two big things that kept me off of PvP servers was,
well, you have to go back to your capital city.
Yeah.
Right. But still, like, the two big things that kept me off PvP server was the being outnumbered thing, and then the big thing for me was leveling. Like,
yeah.
The only way, this, you know, back when I tried it, we didn't even have server transfer, so the only way to get a max level tune on a PvP server was actually leveling on a PvP server, and you just have max level characters griefing you all day in Stranglethorn Vale.
Yeah.
It's not, this is getting very personal and specific, but
oh, everyone remembers Stranglethorn Vale when they're on PvP servers. It was terrible. And you would get ganked repeatedly, and at some point, you know, you would just have to stop playing the game. And you, or go quest somewhere else or go on another character, but there were people whose fun was to hunt down the lower level characters and ruin their day.
Yeah.
And it's a little fun. There was nothing you could do.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily blame them because they put in the work. They got to max level on a PvP server. So why not continue the pain train, as it were?
Yeah. They had their cake and ate it too. Let's say it that way. But
anyway, my point is that the toggle addresses that. Those are the two biggest things for me.
Yeah. So even though you got to go back, like that's just the risk reward, right? Like,
you have an option.
Yeah.
You can make the pain stop.
You can. Which I wish that was true in real life. Moving on. Hey, look at this here. Conquest and World PvP in Battle for Azeroth. You'll earn Conquest for doing PvP activities similar to how it was gained in the past. Rated Arena, Rated Battlegrounds, as well as some light Conquest from Unrated Battlegrounds. But what's new is earning Conquest from what you're doing in World PvP activities. This gives you an additional source when filling up that Conquest bar for your weekly Conquest item. So if you're already into that, you can earn even more. So that's the thing.
And you also can earn, yeah. I mean, it means that the World PvP is worth doing as well. Yeah. You get something out of it. It's not just because as we've learned over the past 14 years of playing World of Warcraft, no WoW player ever does anything if there isn't loot at the end of it.
Yeah.
So that guarantees that you're at least not wasting your time, quote unquote, when doing world PvP.
Sidian in the chat, you're killing me today. He says, leaving the PvP server I started on was my best WoW choice to date. Man, throwing some shade on the PvPers. I like it. All right, what else? Here's a deal. Bounty hunting. This is exciting. And we kind of knew about this.
This is the coolest thing they announced.
Yeah, this is pretty great. How do you earn conquest in World PvP? One source is from killing other players, of course, but the more of the opposing faction you slay, I mean, more of those guys you slay, the higher chance they will put a bounty on your head. So imagine Patrick just laying waste a bunch of hordies, because you're mostly Alliance, right? I forget.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I am, but also I never lay waste to anyone. I just die repeatedly. But yes, let's go with your version.
Okay. I like it. All right. When you lay waste to these people, you put a bounty on your head. And when it's put on you, it will be announced to all opposing players in the zone that you will appear on the main map for a reward. Good luck. It's basically King of the Hill at that point, which is super cool. Like, really cool. I could see this being something you do all day, like just trying to get the bounty on your head and fight that off as long as you can. And that seems like genuine fun to me. Even
if the flip side, like get a posse together and become bounty hunters.
Yeah.
And just run around looking for stars on the map.
Yeah. Like that sounds fun. Even if you never are the dude with the star on your head or whatever on the map,
I don't think they actually said how you're marked, but
yeah, that'd be cool if there's a little star on your head, wouldn't it? Like right in the middle.
I don't know about that.
Like you were a real good kid in class or whatever. Do they do that in France, Patrick, when you're growing up? If you were a good kid, would they walk up and go, "Oh, you're a very good kid today," and they stick a star in the middle of your forehead? Do you ever get that? Is that
what? That might no. Be, that might Why be would American, anyone do that?
That might be an on American your head? Thing. Yeah. Did you not
what
do this?
Weird stuff is happening in Utah.
All right. I'm telling you, it wasn't just Utah. I'm telling you right now, this is a common thing. Back me up, chat room. When you're a little kid, if you did good, you might get a gold star on your forehead. Somebody
like we had like a tally in the room by our names, like on a bulletin board somewhere. They didn't actually like just stick it on our head. That would have just been like beat this kid up at recess. That's what that would have been.
Now, keep in mind, this is like, you know, late 70s, early 80s. So maybe things have certainly changed and you're a 90s kid and who knows what France was up to. But we used to really nobody. The chat's saying no.
No, the chat room is pretty conclusively saying that you're the only person that ever happened.
It might have been. I mean, it might have been. Maybe it was just the teachers I had. I don't know. Okay, someone Darksting finally pipes up and says, "Yes, I remember that."
Okay, so you're not alone.
Somebody somewhere did it.
So the two of you.
Anyway, whatever. That was a thing. What else? I'll say, yeah, bounty hunting, super cool, very excited. That's actually got me, yeah, more excited about this than I have been since they announced what they were doing.
Yeah, the bounty hunting is really cool, and it also serves as a way to balance things out, because if someone is getting a little bit too, I can't remember if you said a bad word that starts with D and ends...
Dick?
Yes. So if someone is being a little bit too much of a dick, then they get the bounty on their head, and they get, hopefully they get hunted down. So it balances things out. You can't just lay waste to low level people, for example, because you are going to get that bounty on your head, and someone's going to come for you.
Hopefully. Yeah. It's going to be cool.
That's very what excited. They should put over your head is it should just be a title called Le Dick.
There you go. Le Dick. Yeah, with a big gold star from your teacher.
On your forehead? Yeah. Like a tattoo or something?
Yeah, it needs to be
that
on
just
it.
Just takes place of your name.
Put it on the model, right on the skin of the head. Did you guys see all the... sorry, that just reminded me of... I don't know if anyone here plays Blood Elves. Are you playing a Blood Elf, Garrett?
All of my tunes are Blood Elves.
How do you live with yourself? They laugh like idiots. How do you stand living with yourself when you know you have all of those Blood Elf males to play? They suck.
Because I have fabulous hair.
And sometimes you
reason
jump
in enough a, yeah. It works for me, it makes sense.
Sometimes your jumps are somersaults. Ooh.
yes they are.
Anyway,
no, they're spins. And then was it, would you call
somersaults are night elves?
Yeah. Though they do a front flip.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone actually does a somersault.
Yeah, I may be making that up. I forget who does anything anymore. But anyway, they got a
don't
bunch
step
of
to my elf knowledge.
They got a bunch of face reworks, just something I noticed today when I was looking around. Anyway, so you'll have that to look forward to, I suppose, when you go to the barbershop and get your new face. What else? Well, we have one or more other content features. They say this is Blizzard's words in War Mode to share later on. One of our goals is to keep it minimal, as you point out. Ian said we want to create a foundation first, which we can hopefully build on with your feedback in the future. I like that. Keep it nice, bare bones. These are great features. Let's see how it plays out. You want to add more incentives or whatever later, great. But yeah. And, you know, more Azerite is the other thing that you benefit from. You get some boost to stuff. Risk and reward, baby. I'm going to try war mode. I may hate it. I may get in and go, well, all right, it's just like PvP. Screw this. And we'll see. But for now, very optimistic.
Get a group together.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Just to finish up on this, the reason why PvP servers are fun is that they bring a little bit. It's not that you go out and go like, oh, I'm going to go kill everyone today. Some people do that, but that's not the main reason. I think the thing they bring is that you're still going to go questing, still going to go do your world quests. But what happens is that it brings a little bit of unpredictability into your game time. Mm-hmm. That you have to be on your toes, and you're still doing the things that you usually do, but something unexpected might happen. And that is when PvP servers were fun for me. So hopefully that's what we're getting, and not just a constant kill fest on those war modes.
But that's what I hope as well. We'll see. All right, well, we'll find out. Let's take a look at what else is happening around Blizzard. All right, week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was.
Two Fridays ago.
Yep, we were talking, and part of this segment was like, oh, hey, that Witchwood deal came out, and it's great, great expansion. Cool deal, everybody. Everyone's excited, and Ben Brode just got back from an international whirlwind trip of promoting the game and talking to people and having matches and taking...
Little did you know that tragedy was about to strike.
Yeah. Ben Brode.
And render the world gray and colorless forever.
This is poetic. Ben Brode, probably not, I'm going to say this without any irony, not since Chris Metzen have we had a more public and gregarious sort of front man for a team at Blizzard, or at least in this case, a team at Blizzard.
Hi, I'm Jeff from the Overwatch team, I'd like to object because I put a lot of work into appearing like a viable head for the team.
That's nice. Brode's game's better.
Yeah. Oh, man. Look at that. Whew, that was some shit.
I'm not going to get into it. He you know, that man quit a podcast about the game I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's how much better Hearthstone is. Wow. I was just like, yeah, I'm done.
That's intense.
No, that's how much you should have said, yeah, and you stopped the podcast a few months later.
Yeah, yeah. No kidding. That podcast doesn't exist anymore. But here's Jeff Kaplan talking about us.
I'm Jeff Kaplan, and you're listening to The Instance.
That's true. Well, Jeff Kaplan, I'm sorry I forgot your name. But and you're right. You're an important front-facing guy. And if he left the Overwatch team, it would be pretty seismic as well. No question. But Ben Brode leaving without much warning. It was his last day, and he posted about it. That's how they do it at Blizzard. They don't usually say, I've given my 2 weeks, or, you know, I'm thinking about going. They don't tell you till they're gone. Left.
And not just the team. He's actually leaving Blizzard entirely.
Yeah, this isn't one of those Corey Stockton, Brian Holinka,
Browder
deals where they're like, yep, off to do a secret project I can't talk about for the next 3 years. See you guys later.
Well, Kaplan did that too, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that's true. When he did
Titan. He came out of his cave to announce Overwatch.
Yeah, he came out of his cave, shaved his beard finally, and went for it. And so this is different, though. This is him leaving the... do we know anything else about his plans since last week?
Nope.
And you were upset. Nope. You were upset.
I have poked him like through personal channels, like, hey, man, what's up? And he's just like, hey, let's play Heroes sometime. That's about the only thing I've gotten from him.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah, well, we know he's going to another company to make games, and we also know that Hamilton Chu is going with him, and he's a much lesser known person at Blizzard. But if my understanding is correct, Hamilton Chu is actually the person we have to thank for Hearthstone, because he's the one who suggested trying to do stuff with smaller teams, experimental, and games that wouldn't take, you know, 5 or 6 years to develop, and Hearthstone was one of the games that came out of those projects.
Yeah,
dude. So, like, Chu is this kind of like Blizzard and gaming like savant. Like, he's worked on a lot of different things at Blizzard, and before he worked for Blizzard, he was a producer on the first two Halos.
Yeah, he's like that, but he's one of those just non-spotlight dudes who gets it done, but you just never hear of him. I mean, Hamilton, yeah. Too, you could tell me that that's the name of the new guy I got to buy gems from in Diablo, and I'd believe you. Like, I don't know who that is. That, like, that name sounds just like whoever, but it's, yeah, if you do a little digging, you find out that guy's a big deal. And so for them leaving together, that's a pretty significant thing. We don't know if they're going to start their own deal, if they're going to go work for somebody else. We don't know that, right? Whether this is...
They're going to go work for themselves, it seems.
Yeah. Well, I'm into whatever that is.
I think I can't imagine another. I mean, first of all, I can't imagine anyone wanting to leave Blizzard, right? Who would ever make that kind of stupid ass choice?
I can't imagine it. Like, we don't know anyone, even on the show, who has left Blizzard for whatever reason.
Who would do that?
Yeah, who would do that?
But I think the only reason to do it really would be if you're going to try and be your own boss. I think that's probably a good reason to do it. And right. So the one thing you can't get by just staying at Blizzard and changing teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. In his post, you know, he mentions that he's at a point where he can take a risk. So he's going to.
Right.
So, I mean, you gotta respect that.
Still stung, though, didn't it? It was a stinger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I was writing out like my solo podcast for that day when that news broke, and I'm like, well, the tone of this show is changing completely. And then Justin called me into his Friday show without any warning, and so there's a lot of different avenues you can, a lot of different places you can go and hear me have more of a hot take on it. But yeah, I was really bummed, man. Like, Brode had a big impact on the Angry Chickens really early days. He was on, I think, the 8th episode.
Mm-hmm. And he's just a brand. He's the brand of Hearthstone in so many ways, more so than the other teams kind of have. And again, I know Jeff Kaplan is that for Overwatch. So shut up, Patrick. But no, like it does feel a little more Metzen level to me. I think I understand more in this case how this might have felt for all the Metzen people. Except in Metzen's case, I got his... Am I supposed to say this out loud? I don't think I can, actually. I just realized I don't think I'm supposed to say...
Oh, you can't do that to me.
No, I think it's okay. No, he's gone now.
Scott,
he's gone now.
He doesn't work there anymore.
So I knew about him leaving a week ahead because he sent me his letter and wanted me to read it. He said, you should read this and tell me if you think this is good or bad or dumb, or if I should change anything. So his thing that ended up as a blue post... I found out about a week ahead. So I had all this preparation, like mentally, it was still hard. And I was like, a little shocking. But weirdly, I was kind of part of the earlier process of it. So when it finally happened, it was just kind of more like a relief. Like, okay, now it's out in the open. Let's see how this goes. In the Brode case, and in there have been others like this at Blizzard, but especially in the Brode case, nobody freaking knew. Like, there was no indication. They just dropped a big, successful expansion, and then...
Yeah, I've only had it only seems to me like a handful of Team 5 employees that I've talked to since the announcement actually knew. Like, there's a lot of folks that even on the Hearthstone team that didn't know this was happening.
Well,
and they still haven't replaced him. There's, as a matter of fact, there's a job opening for his position.
Oh, really? Still, they didn't have somebody ready to roll in there. That's interesting.
No, that was the second wave of shock, was that there was no announcement of who was going to be taking over within any short amount of time. If you remember when Browder left Heroes of the Storm, it was very shortly after we found out that Dabiri was going to be stepping up and taking his place.
Right. He was already sort of prepped to be the heir apparent. But I wonder if there's just... that's interesting. You just think that team would have somebody ready to go. I don't know why. Just seems like they would. Because that was as much as Brode was the face of it, just like, you know, Kaplan for his side of things and Metzen was for everything. You realize that, it's... Sure, it's these guys with their personalities and their front-facing stance and everything, but they're these huge teams of many, many people who actually make, you know, the motor run. And it seems like they'd have somebody ready, but whatever. Maybe they're trying to, you know.
I think, you know, Hearthstone's really proven that it good, nothing but good comes out of them hiring from outside, because they brought in Peter Whalen, they brought in Kosak, like... And both of those guys have brought some really rad stuff to Hearthstone. So I could see them just kind of favoring new blood.
Yeah, could be. Well, we'll see how that all goes. Also, Activision Blizzard's earning call happened. Something weird, though, happened yesterday. Before the earnings call, their stock tanked. And everybody was screaming, what the hell's going on over there? And they had to stop trading on... Or something happened. I don't know how the stock market works, so this is me... completely pulling stuff out of the sky, except that I knew it dropped like 7%, and it was a weird, like, if you looked on a chart, it was just like growth, a little dip, growth, and all of a sudden just this huge drop. So I don't know if everybody had some idea that the news was going to be bad or something, if it was all going to be an Activision problem, if this was a Blizzard thing, but now that they've done the earnings call, it all seems fine. I don't know what that was all about. It's a weird little adjustment that makes me further...
Well, they had a lot of lower player numbers. Mm-hmm. Money-wise, they're doing fine, but they had a lot of, less monthly active users and stuff like that.
Right.
Nothing huge, but they lost a few million here and there.
Well, I'm seeing headlines saying that they blame an erroneous headline, but it doesn't say what the erroneous headline was.
Yeah, I didn't see that either.
Tax or these stock websites want you to pay to see the whole thing.
They do, don't they? Those bastards. I hate that. It's like, if I want to learn more about the stock market, I got to pay. F you.
Yeah, but it looks like it was the highest it dropped was it was a 6% drop. And I mean, as of right now, today, it's up 3.4%. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll see. We'll see what that all means in the future. But Activision Blizzard had 374 million monthly active users in the quarter. This is down from 385 million. So as Patrick said, we're lost about 9 million, or no, 11 million people. Now, that is not, they don't get specific about what that is. That's Call of Duty. That's World of Warcraft. That's, what's that other game?
Well, they give the numbers. They divide it between King, Blizzard and Activision.
Yeah, that could be all King, seriously. Like, everyone's
it's a couple of millions on Blizzard's side and a couple of millions on Activision's side, but you know, King is so big number of players wise that they're the bulk of it.
Is it still just Candy Crush and all that shit? Is that it?
Yeah.
Well, that's
Candy Crush, Faga, and Soda, Candy Soda Crush thing.
Hate it.
That's
dude.
The name.
When you think about their temple franchises too, like Destiny 2 is having a big drop off. The latest Call of Duty, I didn't really think took off like some of the past entries, and we're in a slow period for World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm. Oh, someone in the chat says, by the way, sorry to go back, says, Mush Potato says, I thought I heard that Dow Jones Newswire was responsible for the leak. That's possible.
I don't know. Okay.
Whatever. Blizzard had 38 million MAUs. What's MAU? Monthly active users. Down from 40 million last year. So they got a little bit of a drop there that on the Blizzard side, World of Warcraft overperformed versus the prior expansion at this point in time. That tracks with what I expected. With higher engagements sequentially and strong community participation in in-game purchases. Pre-orders for the upcoming expansion, Battle for Azeroth, are all ahead of plan, they say. Overwatch continues to add new players. Engagement remains strong, with the most recent seasonal event, Retribution, having a higher participation rate than any prior event. And the Overwatch League launched with its season. As we know, they say that the viewership was pretty good, reaching millions each week, with the playoffs still to come this summer. Also says Overwatch League has led to increased engagement for the franchise overall, with combined hours spent playing and watching Overwatch increase sequentially. That's all good news in light of how much Battle Royale games, specifically Fortnite and now to a lesser extent PUBG, have sort of stolen the headlight, or the spotlight. One of the lights.
And the headlight, and they've stolen everything.
They stole all the lights.
At this point, you know.
Yeah.
They stole the refrigerator light. Like, I opened it up, it's just darkness.
But there was a lot of talk about how that was going to affect Blizzard specifically, and that, you know, what companies were stood to lose revenue in light of Fortnite's ridiculous success.
I guess on the bright side, at least Battle Royale isn't a mode based on a mod from a Blizzard title.
Yeah, that's true for once. For once, they didn't miss the boat on this one. I mean, they might still, but it's not theirs to miss.
It was never in the dock for. Yeah. It was never in Blizzard's dock to begin with.
It was never in Blizzard's port, exactly. But I still say 100 junk rats in, one leaves. Do it. Make it happen. Deckard Cain is awesome. Terrible. And in Heroes of the Storm, he's great. I love him.
It's a real objective read on Deckard Cain from Scott Johnson.
I want to drop potions behind me all day now and heal my friends. I think he's really fun. Now, whether he's a winning character or the meta shifts in any sizable way for Deckard Cain in Heroes of the Storm, I don't know. But I think he's badass.
He's been climbing the win rates, in all honesty. He launched very low. Yeah. I think in the 30%, and he's managed to climb up to like a 48% win rate in just a week's time. So yeah. People are figuring him out, and his win rate goes up as the length of the game. So he's more of a late game hero.
Yep, and that's definitely where I'm finding him the most fun. He's also very, his sort of area and like team disruption abilities are just awesome. I love him.
Lornado is so annoying and perfect at the same time. Yeah. I hate it and I love it.
And the jokey one, stay a while and listen, I don't use it. I mean, it's just not a good pick. It's the putting people to sleep is fine, but they wake up as soon as they take any damage. It's
it actually has a severely skewed higher win rate versus Lornado.
Oh, really? Is that true?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not using it right then. I'm going to have to fiddle with it more. Because I want to use it. I just feel like it doesn't do much for me or for our team. But his other abilities, his kit, it's just great. And by the way, it's had this weird effect on me. And this is weird. The sounds that it makes when he drops, health files. And the sound when he goes back to the Nexus to mana up or whatever, and he goes into the portal, that portal sound, they're taken right from like Diablo 2, Diablo 3 stuff. And it has had the effect where I'm actually want to go play Diablo right now as a result of playing Deckard Cain. Those sound effects are so iconic for me that they've just got me itching again for time in Diablo.
It happens just with Deckard on your team, because you're still even if you're not Deckard, you're still picking up the potions and you're still hearing that potion drinking sound. And it just makes me happy.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Also, they're doing the Dark Nexus event, which is pretty cool so far. There's a comic you can read. You can learn how they're going to bring lore into the game. Some would say it's a little tacked on, but I don't care. I'm into it. The new skins are cool. Like, all that stuff's cool. So if you're interested in more of that, Garrett hosts a show with Kyle Ferguson called Into the Nexus. You can check that out. You can check out a show I do every week called Core. Either of those are fine ways to catch up on what's happening in Heroes of the Storm. And then finally, there is a new map and many character changes in Overwatch. Our resident Overwatch player, Patrick, well, I play it too, but Patrick, tell us more about these changes.
So you know that that map. Wait, I have to quit my game probably. That I launched just 15 minutes ago to be able to talk about this.
Great.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
Sure.
Because I hadn't tried it. So the Uprising, not the Uprising, the Retribution event was happening on the Rialto map, but a version that was designed for that PvE event. This map is the payload version of that. It's pretty cool from what I've seen. I just played a couple of games, and it's just an additional payload map, which is in that setting. And also you have the big, what's his face? The big
archer.
A big archer?
Oh my God, Japanese. Hanzo? There Hanzo, you go.
Jeez Louise.
The big archer?
The big archer. Which,
well,
no sense.
No, the archer. But I was going to say the big annoying, like he, because he's very annoying. So he's bigly annoying.
Yeah.
Anyway, words. So the big, though, that's what I was going to say. The big Hanzo redesign. That would have made sense.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. So the big Hanzo redesign is live, and that changes the character significantly, because previously the way Hanzo was being played was basically you would wait for his scatter arrow to be up and then wait for someone to be close enough, aim at their feet, shoot the scatter arrow, kill them, and then do nothing for like 10 seconds until the cooldown was up again. I'm exaggerating, but just a little bit. Yeah. So basically, Hanzo was a character that was, if you weren't very good with him, he was all or nothing, and you had one ability that would kill people, and if you didn't master it, if you missed, then it wouldn't do anything. So it was all or nothing, as I said. The new ability, there are additional changes, but the new ability is really cool. You activate it, and then you can shoot up to 6 arrows that do full damage no matter how long you hold, you pull the bow. So you can do basically a machine gun style gameplay when you have this ability up, and the rest of the time you're just all regular Hanzo. He does a little bit more damage, and he has more mobility, a bunch of stuff, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There are some additional changes to Lucio and other characters, but I think this is the big one. He's pretty fun to play.
Yeah, well, I'm curious about that. I'm also curious if that, any of that translates into changing him up in Heroes. Probably not. He'll probably stay the way he is. He'll still have his stupid ricochet and all that, because why would they?
I wonder if they're going to update him in Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, they've not done this before, but because the Overwatch characters have so directly translated to Heroes of the Storm, the kits kind of just move over with a few exceptions. I always wondered that. Like, you know, Thrall is, they just make him up out of whole cloth, right? Like, well, sure, he'll do lightning and this Wind Fury thing, and that's cool. But in the case of Hanzo, he's Ricochet Arrow and... I mean, the reveal arrow is a thing, like in the other game. What else?
Yeah.
The other stuff.
That being said, the way that the new Storm Arrow talent works seems a lot like the way Sylvanas' Q works in Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, you can't, it's not a skill shot. This still seems like it would be a skill shot in Heroes of the Storm, but it's a very similar kind of...
similar effect.
It's capped at 5, not 6, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, interesting. Well, go play Overwatch, everybody. Except for you, Garrett. You don't like it.
because you hate everything.
He hates everything. What are you going to do?
What?
There's nothing you can do. He hates everything. Garrett, that's the hot take. Know. That's our hot take. Garrett doesn't like anything.
You hate babies. You hate Overwatch. You hate Ben Brode now. It's just.
I said none of this.
I'm pretty sure you did.
No, let's have.
I heard it.
This is the new.
I've read it on the internet.
Yeah.
Must be real. So I'm pretty sure it's true.
Yeah.
Who hacked my Twitter and tweeted out, "I hate Ben Brode"? That's what I want to know. I wasn't aware of this.
He hates Star Wars. He hates...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Star Wars is the worst.
It's the worst, right? You just hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't stand it.
I see where you're at. Let's do an email.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
You guys, that kid graduates this month. I'm just from high school. I just want to put that out there. The town crier, freaking high school graduation.
So he made it?
Well, yeah.
that's a terrible thing to say.
three for three, baby. I got all. I'm all three Excellent. Graduating.
No, I don't know. You were Scott. Actually, you were saying that he was having a hard time in school because he was so creative, like his dad, and he didn't care for actual lessons.
He is actually no.
This walk is, it back, this, Patrick.
No, Patrick has a good point. This is all actually true. He will graduate with a higher grade point average than I did. So.
That's not hard, though.
No, it's not. It really isn't. It's really not. I hated the end of high school, especially my senior year. So I was really checked out, and he's not as checked out as I was. But he draws on all his homework, and it turns out he's actually a decent artist, and nobody knew it. So now I'm trying to parlay that and say, dude, you need to, like, he could do comic books. It's that style of stuff. It's real good, and he just needs to not put it on his homework, but maybe put it on, you know, a nice piece of paper that you can print and, like, make money from. Anyway.
I had a great time senior year because I found out art colleges didn't care about math credits, so I dropped all my math classes and didn't have to worry about them senior year.
Nice. That's the way to do it. I only care about math when taxes come around. It's the only time. The rest of the year,
and
forget
I'd let
it.
Someone else care about that right. for me.
But I use millimeters and centimeters all the time, Patrick. You should be happy. Anyway.
I'm proud.
Thanks. There's an email real quick here from, this came to us, sorry, at theinstance@gmail.com. That's theinstance@gmail.com. Please use it on the frequent. We'll read your emails right here on the show. This is Justin from Perth, Australia, who says this. Hi, everyone. I returned to WoW recently after 12 years of inactivity because the Battle for Azeroth story is so awesome and I love the features coming in. I am personally so happy to see the story change from big bad space demons or Lovecraft clones to what made Warcraft cool in the first place, the war between the Horde and the Alliance. However, in my research, I've come across people who think BFA is a filler expansion. This is based on stuff like how Horde v. Alliance war may not actually go anywhere because no one side can win. I think we'll just get something a bit more nuanced than that, or more nuanced than just one side winning, he says that in parentheses. Or how Blizzard just doesn't know what to do with old gods or void lords. I'm curious to know what you think and what evidence could you bring to the table to disprove this filler expansion theory. Thanks, Justin from Perth. Well, I personally side with Justin on the idea that I get super jazzed when things get back to the core of what Warcraft is always about. And the Horde v. Alliance sort of focus is a good one for me personally. So I'm excited about it. I don't know why anyone would call it a filler expansion unless they think that the only time it isn't is if we're fighting big gelatinous eyeballs in space or something. So I don't know. I think I'm on Justin's side on this. I don't know why anybody would. I mean, do you guys see this as a filler expansion or even filler story? Like, how do you guys see it?
I mean, so first of all, let me say it is quite amazing and scary that someone can say, I'm returning to WoW after 12 years. And that means that they still played for years before that.
Yeah.
And 12 years they can. At first, when I read this, I was like, wait, 12 years? So you never played it. But yes, they actually totally played it for a long time.
Yeah.
But no, it's not. It's not a filler. It doesn't feel like a filler expansion. It's not the standard. We have one big bad character to kill at the end. Although that might happen. Still, we might discover throughout the expansion that there is something like that happening. And certainly, not one can win. Not one faction can win because you need both. Although one can be in a better situation than the other. We've seen. An example of that with Mists, where Garrosh was the big bad at the end, and he was from the Horde, obviously. And I don't think they don't know what to do with the old gods or void lords. They just didn't want to put us in the... they wanted to bring a little bit of a break to the flow of the expansions, just like they did with Mists, where the break was a little bit of peaceful exploration. With this one, they're doing it with a little bit of inter-faction warfare. So I don't see it as filler, and I don't think they don't know what to do with the gods or lords. They just leave them for, you know, maybe the next one or the one after that. It doesn't have to be that obvious every time because they really pushed the void lords this expansion. They do it to create things that we can come back to later.
Right. I
prefer that version of the world building. I don't necessarily want them to create a threat or prop up a threat in one expansion for it to be the big bad in the next one. It's better when they space things out.
Yeah.
I disagree with everything here.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think no, not with what you said, but everything that it's filler, that they don't know what to do with certain key villains. I love everything they've done with the old gods so far.
Sure.
I don't understand where that's even coming from. Like, that they don't know what to do with this. Like, okay, Void Lords maybe, but I just don't think they've really gotten there yet.
Right.
It's kind of like saying at the end of A New Hope, oh, they don't know where they're going with Darth Vader. It's like, oh, they just haven't made the next movie yet. Let's calm down and see what they give us.
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment. Give them a minute. I mean, let them tell the story they're going to tell. This idea that everything, I feel like what I hear more is people constantly asking about Titans and old gods. And I don't know why people are doing that. I mean, I know there's some intrigue there and it's interesting and there's mystery and they want to kind of learn more and figure it out, but that's not all this can be. Like, this has to, it's got to be more than, ooh, what giant tentacle monster used to do the thing they did? Who gives a shit? Sometimes I just want to see a dwarf shoot a freaking, I want to see a dwarf shoot a troll. That's what I want.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that being said, I'm very excited to see what they do with Nazoth. I have a feeling Nazoth is coming.
Yeah. You think he's coming in here in this expansion, though? Do you think?
I think it's a very strong possibility with the nautical theme of this expansion and hints in Legion.
Well, Blizzard's always liked this, here we are fighting, and now there's a thing in the sky we should all now have to, we're going to be forced to unite against. Like, they're into that whole twist, right? They've done it multiple times. I'm not saying that's good, bad, or whatever, but it does seem to me, given the way they thread these expansions together now story-wise, so much more seamless than they used to. They just don't just start a new expansion. There's some connective tissue that there's a really good chance we'll have Nazoth or some other big thing. Something like that's going to happen to make everybody go, oh, we've been fighting each other when whole time the real enemy was up in the sky. Like, it'll be like that.
I hope they don't do that. The reason they keep doing it is that it's much easier to design the encounters because you don't have to design two different ones for one for each faction. I think there's still a meager possibility that they're going to do two sets of end game content, one for the Horde, one for the Alliance, maybe with those fighting each other. If you're Horde, you have to fight some Alliance theme thing and vice versa.
Right.
But I think more likely is indeed the one common threat that ultimately shows up and you have to kill it. Maybe not together, but at least you both have to attack it, whatever factions you're in.
Sure.
It's just easier.
I agree.
But it would be a little bit sad. I'd love for them to find a trick that would allow them to do something different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping this expansion stays a little more grounded after dealing with gods and in like another galaxy. Like, let's bring it back to Azeroth. Let's bring it back to faction versus faction.
Yeah,
that's kind of where my head's at. I think it got a little too ridiculous at the end of Legion for me.
Sure. And then people were worried. Like, I remember back in the Pandaria days, there were two worries. One, people didn't like the whole idea of pandas out of the gate. Turned out to be, I think, misplaced criticism. It was an amazing expansion, and I loved every second.
Would you say
it
was misplaced?
Criticism? I would. Look, that's how I know you're going to be a dad soon, because look at that joke that you just did. That was really good. That's right up there. Seriously, we were always working on those. The secret dad organization that I help chair. Anyway, the point is, what was my point? My point is that, when that expansion came out, the other criticism was, well, now we're back to, we found a new place on the planet, and it's a new land, and it's a whole new thing we got to do. Like, it didn't, when people are disappointed when it's ground level conflict, I don't understand that thinking. Like, that's the whole point of Warcraft is ground level conflict. You can have this other weird stuff, but I personally get a little tired of menaces from space. Like, I'd rather get some hard fantasy on the ground.
I like both.
Well, yeah. We can have both.
I like going between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Or, disperse it however you want. Interconnect them. Like, do what you got to do. But this idea that we got to have one and one only is weird, and I think people should stop doing that. But hey, who am I to say? Who am I to judge? Not me. I don't judge. Justin from Perth, Australia. Thanks for your email. You can send your own emails in to us at theinstance@gmail.com, and we will gladly take them with open arms. All right, before we get out of here, Patrick, you got anything going on over there at Pixels or anything else? What should people be looking for? What's going on?
Sure, yeah. Pixels is a gaming show where we talk about all the games in the industry. And you can find it on your podcast app. Just search for Pixels and you get gaming news. And the other thing I would say is the Icy Veins podcast, where we talk about all of the Blizzard games from the website Icy Veins. They were gracious enough to let me work with them and do their show. And I had a couple of people tell me, oh, that's why you're not on the Instance anymore, because you do the Icy Veins thing. It's obviously not the reason. Is that I decide when the Icy Veins podcast records,
right.
And that's not in the middle of baby bath thing, which the Instance is, or, you know, sleeping time or stuff like that. It's a little bit more complicated to find time for Instance time because of the time difference.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
But still,
baby bath thing. Yeah, you're so technical with the
baby
terms.
Baby bath thing is sure. What I do usually when the Instance is on.
Sure.
So yeah, Pixels and the Icy Veins podcast, you'll probably enjoy.
Yeah, check out FrenchSpin.com, not Patrick on Twitter, all that stuff for more. Garrett, anything going on you want to mention? Anything big? Anything going on?
Well, I mean, there's a new Hearthstone expansion out, so you should always listen to The Angry Chicken if you want to hear the hottest of hot takes. Not that it's sexual, but extremely current. If you want to hear me react to Ben Bro leaving minutes after I heard about it, I have a solo show called R2-T2, which I got the idea from Patrick, who said that's why I should make a show called that, because I'm always reminding people to spell Garrett with two R's and two T's.
Oh, that's adorable.
So, thank you, Patrick, for that. But yeah, if you go back, I believe just one episode, you will find my my reaction to Ben Bro leaving the Hearthstone team.
Yeah,
in its rawest form.
Yeah, I need to actually check that out, because I heard the Angry Chicken follow ups and stuff, but I did not hear this solo thing, and to hear you commiserate solo about the loss of Ben Brode. He's not dead. He's alive and well, but to not have that plaid shirt genius stalking the offices of Blizzard, I got to hear how you felt that day. I mean, on Twitter, I felt those feelings. Those were feelings I had.
The feels, anyway, man. The feels.
The feels. Garrett Ard on Twitter, of course, amove.tv for all your Garrett needs. And here's what I would like to say real quick before we get out of here. The Kickstarter I'm running for a playing card thing is kind of gone a little bit nuts. And if you are saying, I don't know if that's interesting, Scott, or not, maybe you want to go check it out now, because we just unlocked a level that gives anybody the option to pick up a Go Fish deck. I mean, dedicated Go Fish, the old card game you played as a kid, Go Fish deck now unlocked. What does that mean? A ton of fish art. I like drawing them fish, whether it's a regular old fish or sharks. Sometimes a dolphin. I know those are mammals, and same with like whales and stuff and all that. I get it. But still, they'll be in there. Might even be a sea turtle of some sort. But it's going to be a whole deck dedicated to fish. And if
God, if you label the fish, please call the dolphin mammal fish. Please call it mammal fish.
All right, I might do that. They're all going to get funny names, and some of them will come from Frog Panthers. So beware of that. There might be Patrick the penis fish or something, or whatever kind of fish.
What? No, Scarf. Go with Scarf.
Scarf.
That's much better if you want to do a reference to me.
All right.
I'm not going to go there. I'm not. Let's move on.
Patrick is a carp, and you call it a scarp.
That's good.
Scarf. Oh, that worked.
That's not bad. You're wearing a scarf. Oh, that's a great idea. So anyway, it's going well, and there's still room to get in on it. None of the quantities that we're guaranteeing on the Kickstarter are guaranteed for post-Kickstarter, so now might be the time to do it, because we don't know after this how it's going to go. Frogpants.com/cards is where you're going to want to go to check that out. It's got 10 days left or something like that. That's it. Theinstance.net is our website. You can... Terpster's in up there in Seattle. So if any of you living up in the Pacific Northwest and you see a strange little bearded person with terrible shorts and a bad sense of style, wave to him, get a signature, or, you know, go up, pinch him on the bum, whatever you got to do. to get his attention, because he's up there. He's been up there all week, and I think he's still there until maybe early next week or something. So watch for that. That's why he's not here today. He's busy working, doing Yogg's casty things. Theinstance.net is our website. Instance Show on Twitter. You can find me at Scott Johnson. Like I said before, Not Patrick for Patrick, Garrett Art for Garrett, and Terpster at _T. There are more shows like this at frogpants.com. And boy, howdy, is there a lot going on, so check that out. That's going to do it for us, I think. That's it. We'll be back with another show. Should be next week. And in the meantime, send us your emails. Let us know your thoughts. Talk to us on Twitter. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, for Garrett. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.